Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the LOA Blend. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. How's everybody?
Good.
Good. And for the fathers that celebrate, or families that celebrate fathers, in the United States, I don't know about other places in the world, but today is recognized as Father's Day, so I have to put a shout out to my baby daddy, my husband Steve, who is a huge supporter, big fan of the show. It really means so much to me because he doesn't listen live, but I can't tell you how, it's really more often than not that I might go into a room in the apartment, or I have to go look for something, and I see that he has his headphones on, his computer and or his phone, and he's listening to a download of one of our shows, which is I think it's so sweet. Yeah, so
that is sweet,
isn't it? He's a big fan, long time supporter, wonderful husband and father. So we just gave him his gifts. He loves Indian food, so we're gonna go. I'm going to take him out for, I want to try to find an Indian restaurant that does brunch. It's going to be creative, right? And then after that, a mutual friend of ours is doing a comedy show. So we're going to do brunch and laughs. And I think that's a
good day. Yeah.
I think so. So, you were telling me in the 2 seconds that we had to say hello to each other that you spoke at your spiritual mentor's memorial service. Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about it.
She passed away in March down in Florida, and they had a memorial service for her there in April, I want to say. But then not everyone was going to make it down from Atlanta. And in fact, her husband had said, we are going to plan something for Atlanta, because that's where they stayed pretty much until the last couple of years. They stayed in Atlanta. So they built quite a network of supporters. And that's also where her daughter lives here. So anyway, it was yesterday at a Unity Church. It was Unity Church in Norcross, which is a beautiful church. And the whole program, I'm not sure all the people who put it together. I was just asked a while back to speak, but I was not in charge, thank God, of anything else.
The logistics. It's like someone saying, would you be my bridesmaid? No. Would you be my, well, actually worse, be my maid of honor? No.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
So somebody else, some other people put it together. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's great.
Lois loved the color purple. She loved that lavender, purple, any shade. That was her go-to color. And so, like, I had a purple top, and my toenails were painted purple. That's just, I like this color as well, so that's not a big deal. But it was great to see people, especially my fellow students, who were wearing different shades of purple.
How beautiful.
There was one of our classmates, this guy named Doug, he sang like three songs, and he played guitar. But he always had the best socks. He always had different patterns, but he always had some sort of purple socks that he would wear to class. And this time around, he wore the purple socks. He was wearing his sandals too, which is really funny, because it was all types of people dressed up in different states of being dressed up, you know, or not dressed up at all. But Doug was great. It was really good. And I hadn't written out anything for the service. I hadn't even seen the schedule. I just knew they asked me to speak. I'm like, okay, I'll be ready to speak. And I attended my cousin's funeral back in April, and I wasn't asked to speak. I mean, there was a time when the floor was open, you know, to people to speak up. But I think I had, it was my cousin-in-law, one of my second cousins. They were, and then my aunt spoke. She just sort of wanted to speak on the fly. But the two guys who spoke at my cousin's funeral had prepared it, and they actually did a good job. But it was still, you know, like, you know, the hands are shaking, and I thought, you know, it's good that they did that, but if I were to do that, I think I'd still be writing. Like, I'd still be trying to write something, and I wouldn't get around to just doing it. So I didn't prepare anything. I just took in the day. I got there half an hour early. I think it was smart because I think they were telling everybody it starts at 1, but it didn't start till 1:30. It actually didn't start till probably a little bit later, but it was good. It got people there, you know, on time. And I was reconnecting with some of these students I hadn't seen. Some of them don't live here anymore. And so to see my fellow classmates and just people that I've known connected to Lois, and to see where they were, you know, we were all just sort of checking in on each other, and a lot of people saying, oh, I still can't believe she's gone. And, you know, there's a heaviness, and they were already crying. They were locating where the boxes of Kleenexes were around the sanctuary. And I think, you know, to some degree, the people who are performing, there's a lot of music at her memorial service. She was she was the very first president of the International Sound Therapy Association, also known as ISTA, and it's headquartered in Atlanta, but it is international. So she was a big advocate of, you know, healing through sound. And it made sense that there was so much music involved. Everything about this memorial service, it was just beautifully done. She loved opera. Not that we had an opera singer, but we had someone from her, from the ISTA organization sang Ave Maria. Oh, my gosh.
That song always makes me cry.
Absolutely. It was, I know. I had to, like, guys had to kind of close my eyes. It was absolutely gorgeous. There was a pianist who was doing some of the background music for a slideshow. There was a lot of crystal bowls, or, you know, Tibetan bowls, and bells and gongs. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff happening, but it was so, so well done. And it was meditative and very healing. The handful of people who did speak, who had, you know, were prepared to speak, were just, I think I was the only one who didn't have something prepared, but I just spoke from the heart. And,
yeah.
And I, you know, obviously doing this radio show helps, because, you know, you sort of take in what's happening. You take in,
yes,
what the topic of the day is, and you get a vibe from what's going on. And afterwards, like, there was a little reception afterwards, and quite a few people, some people I knew and some people I didn't know, just said, came up to me and gave me a hug and said, thank you for your speech. And, you know, you really pulled on the heartstrings, and you tied up everything that I was talking, you know, what I was feeling. Oh, okay, good.
Just like the radio,
you know,
show.
Kind of like the radio show. But I wasn't overwhelmed by sadness when I was speaking. So I didn't get choked up. I wanted to convey this sense of joy, because, you know, I totally felt that she was there. And this, this level of, you know, feeling really, really good that, one, we all got together and we all were just celebrating how she touched our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what I knew I wanted to have that in there. But, you know, then to see my classmates who are still coming to grips with the fact that she wasn't there, you know, and just like, oh, I wish I wasn't here. And it's so sad that, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, that's kind of, you know, normal, but, you know, there's so much more to it than that, because of all the things that she taught us. And so I'm just trying to remind people, especially those who have taken classes with her, like, you know, she would want you to feel what you want to feel. You know, she would want you, if you're, you know, usually this grief is tied to all these other times you probably didn't grieve, you know, or couldn't, or didn't find an outlet for it. You know, so feel it, you know, go ahead and feel that. But at some point, you know, your heart will feel lighter, and hopefully you'll also remember all the different techniques she taught us, you know, just to help with healing in general. And so that was what I was getting at, and how, yeah, I really just, what a beautiful day it was. And I got reconnected with some old friends. I had a friend, an old classmate who doesn't even live in the Atlanta area anymore. And she was trying to get, you know, trying to pull me aside, and I really need to talk to you about something when you have a moment. I'm like, okay, yeah. So we finally did, and she just said, I just need to apologize to you for the last time I was in town, or you before she even moved. And it was, it was something that I don't know, I just kind of put it away. It wasn't even,
right.
It wasn't something that I was like, I can't believe she showed up, It wasn't even any of that. I almost was looking at her like, I don't even really remember this, but apparently the way we ended, or the way she ended things in terms of, I can't remember what the situation was.
But I love that you don't remember. I just love that it didn't stay with you. I think that's beautiful.
But she just said, I know I said some things to you. I was really angry, and I blamed
you
for a lot.
I don't remember. No, I'm just kidding.
And she said, I feel horrible. I really regret. She was like kind of putting up all these regrets. And I know that was sort of probably her theme for the day, especially having gone to this. And
sure.
You know, she's one of those, she's a strong personality. And so, she feels so much, and that's part of it, is that she, there's a lot of stuff that she wants to have done perfectly. And like, sometimes it just.
Sometimes it doesn't work like that.
If you don't deal with some of your stuff, it just keeps coming back up.
That's
so,
correct.
So she had asked for this forgiveness. I said, absolutely, and gave her a big hug, and she was, in tears. At various points throughout the day, she was trying to make amends to a handful of people.
Well, she might be in a 12-step program, too.
Possibly.
You never know.
I don't know.
You never know.
I don't know.
She might be working her program, or just that she just wants to have no unfinished business. I mean, it doesn't matter the reason behind it, but good for her, and even better for you that you didn't hold on to it. You didn't turn it into a thing. She carried it for the two of you. And what a wonderful example and reflection for all of us.
Mm.
You know, I love that you, that's actually has happened with me on several occasions too, where someone's coming out of left field apologizing. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, we're good.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah. When she told me, I'm like, it vaguely familiar, but I think for her, I knew she was going through some stuff. And
you were compassionate, right?
Yeah. I was just like, I know it's not me. I know it's not me.
Right.
And so I just, let her do what she needed to do, and it was probably good to take a step away, and that's fine. But she said, apparently, all those, however many years it's been, at least three since she's been here. But she just said, I've been wanting to, email you or call you or just do something to make amends. And
wow.
I just never,
it stayed with her.
Never could do it. Yeah, it really did. And
wow.
And so we went out afterwards. She had to catch a flight. But I said, after we were done, a lot of people had, they just wanted, we were there for, from like 1 to 4:30 or so. And I said, let's get some tea or something. Let's continue. If you're still in town, you're going to leave later on, then let's continue, just catching up in general. I wasn't planning anything special, crazy after this, after memorial service. I figured I probably wanted to just rest, kind of be low key at home. But
right.
There were a handful of people I would have loved for us to all have done dinner at some point. But they had a reception afterwards, so I really wasn't that hungry. But we did go to R. Thomas, which is a really funky old grill that Lois loved. A lot of people really loved in Atlanta. And she was like, I insist I pay on dinner. I was going to drop her off at the airport. I'm like, it's not a problem. She's like, I could have just taken Uber or whatever. I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. We're already, kind of downtown, so it's not that big of a deal. So we just caught up and, there's still, with someone like her and with people in our class that over the years, when we've gone to Lois, it's, you want to explore, you went to those classes to explore your spirituality, but also quite a few of us would find that there are some other deeper issues that we definitely needed to address that would come up in the course of learning all the different ways of being. Excuse me. you learn more. As, you know, there are issues that will come up, issues that you've buried or patterns that you just keep repeating. So that was a sort of environment. Like, this is a safe environment. Lois's classroom, which was basically her house because she taught it from her home,
uh-huh.
beautiful home, brought up a safe space for people to really discuss it. You know, just like on the show, when people are talking about what's going on, even
right.
if the other callers don't have the exact same issue, the other people listening will say, "Wow, that really addressed an issue." So there is power in gathering. There's power in sharing, and there's power in maintaining, you know, a sense of groundedness through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Something I talked about with at Lois's memorial was, you know, Lois was a Gemini, and she had that extra energy, but she was, you know, super in control about a lot of things. But you could tell it's one of those when someone wants to have everything in control, the nervous energy.
Right.
On the fact that it may not turn out the way it needs to, it kind of takes over. So I used to ground the energy. Like when I would work with her, we would be setting up to be at a booth at a fair or
right.
You know, if she's just promoting a book, whatever, you know, her she had books and CDs that she also had as part of her program. I would just take a moment as she's kind of, you know, fiddling around. I would take a moment. I would ground the room we were in. I would ground her, ground the whole day. And that was just my little bit that I would do. I mean, and I wouldn't, you know, she would see that I was probably meditating, but I would just want her to know that I'm here. This is partly why you want me here.
Exactly.
You know, not because I could do all the heavy lifting, because I can do at that point. Yeah, I could, you know, the stuff she needed to have hauled in was not that difficult for me, but it's that presence. Because she did it for so many other people when she was teaching her class. So those were things that I learned from her. And so I felt the same way with my friend, who was also a Gemini and just would need, you know, need that grounding at some point. And until there's a part of it, it's like, you know, she took a lot of the same classes, not just with Lois, but with other people. She took a lot of the same classes that I took, and I just reminded her, like, you know how to do this. You just have to do it. You know, when things are happening, like if you get into an accident every so often because you know you're not grounded, then that's, you know, you actually have the tools to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to care enough about yourself to use them. And I think that's so that it was, like I said, it was, maybe you're right, it was in a way bittersweet, but not because of of Lois.
Of course not, right.
But to see, you know, to see some of my old friends, and it really was good to spend time with her. But, you know, like, you know, she just has to, she does. It's something where being a little more centered and grounded, and she still, you know, she wants to look for someone who's like Lois. You know, how do you find another mentor like that? I said, you know, Lois was one of a kind. You know, but you've also progressed since then. You know, we all have these different teachers. So I was just hoping at some point. I know we'll stay connected. You know, better connected than we were the last 3 years. But
right.
You know, she's someone who. She's searching, still searching, and you know, she could use help, but not in that way. I think it's just knowing that she has it within her to get herself grounded.
Right, and you reflected the power of forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's so valuable and so beautiful, and again, I'll just repeat the earlier observation, which I think is such a great example for the show, that you don't have to be weighed down by somebody else's stuff. It's even better when it doesn't even occur to you. When you just have the clarity, as you did, you know, when it happened 3 years ago, and it's great that it's a faded, barely a memory to you, but that you knew in that moment, that this is not mine.
Yeah.
So you set yourself free. It had nothing to do with anybody else. Nobody can set yourself free but you. So it's a wonderful, wonderful example. So that's great, and that you guys got to come together to honor the spiritual teacher and mentor, and you guys got to reconnect on a different level, because things always have to change on a changed level. That's beautiful.
Oh yeah, it was. It was a really, really good day. I'm glad. I'm glad everything just went so smoothly. The whole day, the whole ceremony was beautiful. And yeah, the results. Catching with quite a few people, and we all want to continue to meet. I kind of put it out there when I was talking to everybody. I'm like, we do still need to continue to meet. You know,
we can
certainly do that. And that would be a good way to honor Lois's memory and what she has already created, and to continue it.
Exactly.
So everyone kept coming up like, yeah, we should do something, and that would be kind of good too. You know, and it doesn't have to be like a big teaching session. Like with Lois, she wanted
to
be.
Just get together.
She wanted that purpose. Yeah, we just need to get together and laugh. That was one of the biggest things. Even after class or during class, at some point, you know, we would sort of unofficially be done. And people would still linger, and we just have the best time. I called it a spiritual situation comedy, because, you know, some of the stuff we do, some of the stuff we talk about is so crazy, but to be able to poke fun at ourselves, but still honor, not like to tear it down, but to realize, you know, some people are not going to get this, but we are going to get it. And it's always been a fun time with us.
Let me ask you this. Why am I getting the image of wire-rimmed glasses? Don't know if that's for you or for somebody else listening, but wire-rimmed glasses.
I was about to say, well, maybe Lois has them, but she had a lot of, she probably had different types of glasses. But I think the ones I saw were plastic.
I don't think it's her.
Yeah.
Anyway, file that.
But, yeah.
Yeah, and specifically wire. Metal wire, so. If it occurs to you or to anybody, just had to put that out there. And, you know, it's totally possible for you guys to continue with her legacy. Her spirit doesn't mean, you know, she was one of a kind, doesn't mean to replicate. But look at what Anna did with Trey's legacy, where, you know, 6 years later, this is his memory, his spirit is being honored through Universal Energy Radio. So who knew? So it's certainly possible to just, even if it's around this time of year, to use that as a benchmark. Right. To do different things.
Right.
It could be the
Lois's birthday is June 8th. So
perfect.
Someone had mentioned, you know, doing it in June anyway. Birthday. So
It's the I don't know her last name, but the Lois Memorial Potluck, Lois Memorial Brunch, Lois Memorial Boozy Cruise, you know, whatever. You could just all these you could just be creative. You know, it could be that you guys volunteer at a soup kitchen to honor her and then go out afterwards or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there are just different things to do, but to just, you know, think, well, you know, at some point in maybe early to mid June, we'll have a call to action to see who is available to get together to honor her and to stay connected. And and you could even start a Facebook group page.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different ways. So it's a start, and how wonderful, you know. But we know it's possible, because this radio show and station is certainly an example of maintaining a legacy effortlessly.
Right. We do have hands raised, but I wanted to maybe address the wire-rimmed glasses. Now, my friend, I was talking about, her name's Leslie, she had a sister who passed away.
Oh.
Named Lori, and I never met Lori, but she made a lot of references to her yesterday, because she, you know, I can't remember when her sister passed, but her sister, I think, was also a Gemini. So I don't know. I don't know if Lori wore wire rim glasses.
Yeah, it will come. It will come.
Anyway.
Yeah. It will just come. Or somebody calling in will say, no, it's my grandpa. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Right.
I just saw the picture as you were talking, and when I see a picture, I write it down and I ask about it. But I mm-hmm. knew it wasn't specifically about Lois.
Okay.
So, yeah,
okay.
That I knew.
All
but
right.
Let's take some calls.
Well,
okay.
Let's take some calls. Here we go. This is Tessa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Sunshine.
Hi, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you, darling?
I'm well. I can't complain.
What's going on?
I was giving an update about my week.
Tell us.
So, I've been practicing using my Oracle cards, and one person that I kind of feel comfortable, like, I guess, like, using them with is my friend. And so we had finished working out, and I was like, well, let me just pull some cards for you. Because like, for some reason, after I finished working out, like, my energy's kind of
well, you're not
clear,
in your way.
So
you're not thinking. You're not resisting.
Yes.
You know why? Because your resistance is down because you gave it all to the gym, and because your issue is resistance. Ding, 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 ding,
yes.
ding, ding, ding.
So,
which is why resistance training is so good for you at the gym. And I don't know if you're a career girl or whatever, but I would put money that resistance training will help you with your resistance. Isn't that funny?
I'm not a cardio girl. I like the weight.
Because that's resistance. See?
Yes, I like the weight.
Mm-hmm. So
that's
I kind of knew that without knowing that. So keep that up because that's gonna really help you. You know, it's like when Elisa was just talking about, like, that her friend was carrying all this stuff. It didn't even occur to her. So this is a great way for you to work on your core issues effortlessly, and your body, mind, and spirit will benefit from the benefits of doing resistance training, weight training. And then you're not going to feel like you're carrying a weight around all the time because that's what makes you feel sluggish. Energetically.
Yes. And that's so right. It's like with me being out from school and getting like some type of workout in.
Yeah, you need that.
Three times a week, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Than I did a year. So.
And the fact that you reached out to your friend and you're like, let me pull some cards for you. And that's a safe, you know, it's like a laboratory. It's like a guinea pig. So how did it go when you pulled cards?
So I pull, like, what I'm learning is, like, sometimes I'm like, well, I'm going to pull three cards, but sometimes more than that come up, so I just go with
true.
It. So I pulled, one card was, basically a card from, I felt like it was from her grandma, because her grandma passed away a couple years ago, and I can, like, being a friend from the outside, looking in, I can tell it kind of took a toll on her, because it, like her weight and stuff changed and all kinds of stuff. So
right.
It was when I started reading the card to her and reading what it says, like I never felt like immediate rush of like emotions and I just felt like crying, not like a sad cry. But
no, you were being
like
very empathetic and you were I mean you're an empath. You were picking it up.
Yeah, so when I did that for her, like, afterwards, I'm like, ooh, I never did that before. She looking at me, but she was, like, in a whole other state. But she was, like, after I read it, she was, like, I really needed that, Contessa. And it made me, like, okay, I can do this. Like, I can.
And you're giving yourself permission.
People.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen, you're giving yourself permission to feel. Where before, and this is why I was so hard on you, because I needed you to feel something. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't go out of my way. I said, let me be hard on this one. Let me be soft on this one. No. Because I don't like being the tough cop, but I can't, you know. I'm just led the way the energy leads me to connect to somebody's energy. And do you see, I haven't been really hard on you lately.
Yes,
I really haven't.
I have no respect.
Because I don't need to be. Right? Because I'm mirroring where you are. So the whole sluggishness and resistance and sort of laughing things off and, you know, covering your eyes to not see what's in front of you, all that's disappearing. So all it is that, wow, it's okay to feel. and there was part of a resistance to feeling, which makes sense. You're trying to protect yourself. So as somebody who's very empathetic, you pick up everybody's energy. The thing that I would just say, because you're beginning an exploratory journey, right, which I'm so proud of you, because I thought this, like, I think I told you, like, 2 years ago, make your own deck.
You do. Mm-hmm. You remember everything.
I remember everything. Like, yeah, she's laughing. Like 2 years,
because I know you remember, you did tell me to do that, and I was like, I don't know what to make a deck for, but now I get it.
But now, right. So now, but you know, I saw Lolita's ice cream store too, but that was 5 years ago. But listen, so it's not about when, it's about being open, and that doing the work with the deck that you're using is foundational, and it will be a model because you do have these beautiful images. See, it's no different, Tessa, than the database of messages that I have. Right?
Mm-hmm,
I'm not
right.
Following anybody's deck of cards or this, whatever, because now, oh my goodness, 8 years ago, seven, 8 years, I don't even know. Maybe even longer, maybe 9 years ago, no radio show, not even with Trey, and I was posting videos on YouTube and channeling in the closet, because I used to channel in the closet because I had a channel. Now it's just merged into my personality, but it was very separate back then. So every day I had to post a message on Twitter, and a number would go with it, not knowing all these years later that I have a database of messages that nobody else has. Right? So
you're right.
Right. I didn't know at that time. I just knew I had to channel the way an addict needed a fix, because it was crazy. I would be so consumed. I had to get it out of my, I didn't know how else to get it out. And I discovered Source Energy Radio, and I was eating it up, like listening to all these shows. All these channelers were on it, and all this great content. And I would hear Anna on the show and all these things. And then one day on Facebook, Trey posted that he was looking for channels, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so scared. And I wrote him, and boom, you know, a week later, I had my own show. And then, like, a month later, Anna and I were on panels together, and like, it's crazy. So... and if it wasn't for that heaviness and sadness, I mean, I can't tell you how I thought I was crazy. I thought I was going to die. I was terrified, but I had to get it out. It was so critical at that point. And I was terrified when I reached out to him, and even more so the first time I did a show for him. Terrified. I was freaking the hell out. And all these years later, I'm so grateful for my little database, because it's not little, and it's what makes what I do unique, and it can't be replicated. And that wasn't even my point. It just worked out that way. So with you, do you see having ownership of just putting yourself out there and knowing, and I can relate to the resistance to not feel. I was terrified because I knew, and I say this all the time, I knew there was no going back.
Yeah.
So I love this. And look at the result. The one thing that I would say is to, this is something I wish I had somebody say to me early on, so I'm saying this to you because I'm kind of paying for it now, is to be very careful and protective of your auric field, meaning to make it part of your routine to know the separation between your energy and someone else's. It's kind of like what Elisa was talking about before, where her friend was really burdened, you know, with not apologizing to her, and Elisa just had that clarity, like, I don't even know what you're talking about, because I knew back then it wasn't my stuff. So find, I would say even now, so that it becomes like a routine, find just a, certain things that are just would become like habit, like brushing your teeth, meaning that you have some sea salt in your bathroom. So when you so before you go to bed, like you wash your hands and you wash your hands with sea salt. So that you clear, so that you just start now, so then it's not a big deal. The way it wasn't a big deal with Elisa, I have learned the hard way to the point now that I'm kind of paying for it now. I have issues where my reserves are completely depleted because I put everybody before me. I'm clinically exhausted. I'm clinically depressed. I'm clinically, what? Who cares? I'm addressing those things, but I wish I had known. And it's not like I can just focus on taking care of myself. You know, with running a business and having kids and a husband and mm-hmm. everything, 24, and then having this very rich spiritual life, it's like there's nothing left. And I kind of left myself in the corner. So I'm in a state of repair concurrently while being completely depleted but having no rest, no breathing room. I'm still managing. And if anybody could do it, it's me. But why, I'm just letting you know, because I wish I had some wise person say to me, don't let that happen. And you can sort of start making it habitual so that you're not blindsided and consumed by the energies of others. But I am so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of myself.
Hello.
I am. But it's crazy when you say it's no coming going back, because me and her go walk in the morning time, and it's like a really huge caterpillar, like bright green, like you couldn't miss mm-hmm. it walking past.
Wow!
And so I tell her, I say, you know, in the morning time before we go for our walks, I always ask God and my angels and my you know, my ancestors for, you know, signs and, you know,
yes.
symbols, you know, I'm on a
yes.
path. And I seen the caterpillar, so I read to her what it meant, and just basically saying, like, you know, with our caterpillar, once it starts this transformation, there's no turning back. Like, you can't go back. Like, well,
hello.
You know, I might be a caterpillar still. Like, you got to kind of go through with the process, because if not, you're going to perish. And, you know, not literally, but, you know, like with the caterpillar, if it doesn't go through this transformation, it's going to either die or, you know,
right.
You got to push through and become a butterfly. So I was just telling her, like, those are the signs that I look for. Like, she asked
beautiful.
Me a lot of questions, so I give her, like, the tips that helps me, you know, get through. So
see, look what you're doing. You're giving. You're giving guidance. You're giving wisdom. And the caterpillar feels like it's going to die before it turns into the butterfly. But the caterpillar doesn't know it's going to turn into a butterfly. Caterpillar thinks it's going to die.
And
so,
I understand that, too.
That's why I'm saying it to you. So, and do you
yeah.
see, like, oh, okay, it's just the end of a chapter. It's okay. And look at that, you're helping somebody. Doesn't that feel great?
It does. It really does.
And that's what keeps you going. And I think that under other circumstances, if it wasn't a place of service or a place of self-knowledge or just whatever path that one has to take, there would be different circumstances or consequences. You know, like, I'm not going to end, you know, somebody else in my shoes probably could end up in the hospital. I ain't going to be in no hospital. I got to keep it cute. So that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. But I also have to pay attention to switching things up and repairing my auric field and having the boundaries in place and loving the word no. And because it's, you know, even for the things that are absolute yeses, even that's too much. So the no's, you know, we need the no's. And people just have to get over it. And they will. They'll just go on to somebody else that their boundaries aren't quite as reinforced or in place. They'll find them, because it's like the moth to the flames. They will find them. They will go on, you know, it's like the panhandler, you know, going to any random stranger to see who's going to give them a dollar. You know, that's it. No, not that one, not that one, not that. Okay, there's someone that's going to put something in my cup. Okay, next. They're not thinking about it. They're not taking it personal. They will gravitate toward whose boundaries aren't as reinforced, and they'll find that person. That's it.
Yep. Like, but just you saying that, I'm just like, yep. I'm thinking of a person right now. I'm like, okay.
They'll go up to the net. Yes, it's not that deep.
Yes.
They'll go up to the
net. Deep.
Let's have you pick a message. And I want you to pick it. Again, I'm kind of doing that, like I did that with you the other day and a couple other old-time listeners. You're picking this message using your clairvoyance for what we all need to hear. So it's a little bit different than you asking for your own personal message, although the results and benefits are exactly the same. Okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, so she's going to pick for us. All right, so stand by ready when you guys are. Okay. And, oh, help this, wow, especially because you were just talking about somebody that you had in mind. Two-digit number again. It's funny, the two-digit numbers have been coming up a lot lately. 73. And here's the message that you picked for all of us. But I think it really applies to what you were just sharing. Use the blindsided experience of walking into someone's projection as an opportunity to dust off and love unconditionally without defenses. This even applies to you, Elisa.
I was thinking that, like, the practice of detachment, like, is definitely needed these days.
So healthy. So yes. Healthy. Yeah. I'll read it again. Use the blindsided experience of walking into someone's projection as an opportunity to dust off and love unconditionally without defenses. It's going to happen. You're going to deal with somebody else's drama. You're going to deal with the person that's going to shove you in the street or cut you off in traffic. So that's being blindsided. You know, you're walking into someone's projection. You're walking into somebody else's field. You don't mean to. You didn't plan on it. You're blindsided. It's you know, stubbing your toe energetically. It's walking into something that you weren't seeking to walk into. So what do? You just dust. You dust that. You know, you dust yourself off, and it's literally dusting off that energy that does not belong to you. Just that image. You get up. You dust yourself off, getting rid of what does not need to be attached to you. And you love, and if I was to add a word to this message, I would say, and love yourself unconditionally without defenses. Because I think really what I'm getting here, the heart of what this message is, especially with you picking it for all of us, Tessa, is to love yourself unconditionally without having to defend yourself. You know, because when you have to defend yourself, you're kind of attacking. So there's nothing to prove. There's nothing to say. There's nothing, you know. And so many people are, and I don't know, it feels epidemic to me. So many people seem to be so oblivious, not recognizing your journey or what you need. It's all about what they need and what they want to get from you. The rampant entitlement. Oh, yes. Like, I got an email last night, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Wow. Like, just someone's asking something of me, and I'm just blown away because I thought this person knew me but is so caught up in what they need. I purposely am not going to respond until Tuesday morning with a nice no. That's it.
And that'd be the people who kind of, like you say, you get blindsided by something, and then you're like, okay, so how do I respond? And taking time does help. So, like, you responding Tuesday is like,
I'm responding Tuesday.
Okay.
And I'm, yes, and I'm the type of girl, just because I'm so busy, I like to respond within a, whether it's a phone call within 24 hours, an email within 48 hours. That's sort of like a text, you know, the same day. Text, you know, immediately or the same day, call, phone call 24 hours, email 48 hours. And within that time, And usually it's a lot quicker than that because I find it's better for me just to deal with things as streamlined as possible. But with some people, you give a mixed message. Oh, she's not doing anything but waiting to get back to my email, so I'm going to bombard her. I have to make a statement by taking my time very consciously, and I will respond Tuesday morning because I just cannot believe the audacity. And with a very gracious no.
No.
That simple. I mean, I'll couch it with one or two sentences that it's just schedule prohibitive and I wish you all the best. But unfortunately, I cannot accommodate your request at this time. Tuesday morning. That's it. Because it's a mixed signal if I reply right away. That's it. There you go. And I think I said 73 was the number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great message again, Tessa. I mean, 7 and 3, both of those numbers can seem working in opposite circles, so to speak. 7 is more definitely introspective. It's seven is spiritual. I feel like it functions on a different plane. You know, it's focused. It wants to really know. It prioritizes what needs to be looked at. And a 3 is energy. It's spread out. It can be a little flighty. It can be, it's always fun. 7 may not always be fun, but 7 can like, you know, take you to church. But a 3 is just much more playful. So they can seem to be working, like I said, in opposite circles. But when you blend them together, whatever you've been working on the inside will then be shared with others. So the 7 is the inner work, and 3 is the energy distribution of that. So this is perfect because when things happen to us, and unless you go in, you know, unless you like really wanted to talk to somebody, it really doesn't matter. You can have an intention, but you can still get blindsided by the other person and what the other person's going through. And for those of us who are very sensitive, it almost even doesn't matter. Because I'm looking at the situation definitely from what I had experienced. Like, you know, there are people who say, on any given day for me, I can be a very strong personality, but not the same way another person is a strong personality. So I'm much more receptive to other people. And I may not tell you, I'm really closing off. I'm not really talking to really listen to you.
I got a switchblade in my back pocket, but I'm not saying nothing.
Right. You know. But then others are much more forthright with it. But you can still be blindsided when you're not paying attention, or you can be blindsided by the fact that you were focused on something else, and you weren't on the same page for this whole conversation. So things come to light, and you're like, what? What are you talking about? So that's where that inner work of the 7, if you know what's happening for you, not for the other person, because that's where you get messy, is when,
yes,
when you try to think for the other person, when the other person should have been saying this. You're not being present because you've got to work out a script. It's an entire play that you didn't share with anybody, but you know it because you wrote it, you produced it, you're actually trying to direct it. And it's a play for one, not for two. So this 7 says be focused, but know that at some point all the stuff that you're thinking about has to touch the outside world, because you're not going to be able to keep it within you. That's not, you can't just show up in a room full of people and think you're not going to have an effect on anybody.
Right.
Even if you don't talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So the 3 is a reminder of how energy works. I mean, it works through us, but whatever our filters are, that's what other people will interpret You know, that's also the level of, or the quality or the types of people or situations that you're going to be working with. Again, law of attraction. So the seven is important, just as important as the three. But they do work together all the time. We're just not always aware of it.
That was, I dig that. I'll take that in.
Perfect. I loved it.
Thank you, very good. Mrs. Goddess today. About to enjoy. TJ took another day off for his, he's off chilling, playing with my my dad's girlfriend's little boy. So he's supposed to come home this afternoon. So peace and quiet.
You enjoy every second of thing. You enjoy that. Wonderful. Well, you know, you're mother and father, so you deserve to, you know, be acknowledged today because you're a primary caregiver, so you make it Mother's Day 2.0 for you.
Yes.
All right, darling. Keep the path clear. You don't need to know where you're going, Mahogany. Just keep the path clear. It's an old school reference.
Okay.
Huh?
Most definitely.
Yeah. You should watch the movie Mahogany. Find it on YouTube for a goof. See Miss Diana Ross.
I'll do that.
Google it because it's so campy. It's so bad, it's amazing. You'll love it just for the clothes.
Okay.
Just to see Diana Ross's clothes, okay? It's an old school. Your mother's going to know what I'm talking about. It's an old school reference, but you're going to love it.
All right.
Yeah, and the reason why I said that is because there's an iconic Diana Ross song called Do You Know Where You're Going To? And it's all about kind of finding your way in this life. So when I call people Mahogany, it's like, oh, you're finding your way. Where am I going? So you'll see. Or just Google the song, Do You Know Where You're Going To? Mahogany. Google that. Just look at the song. You know what I'm talking about. And then tell me what you think.
Okay.
All right, girl.
I'll do it.
All right, beautiful.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Take care.
Sometimes we just have to dig out that. We have to go in the archives and dig out the obscure, old, in the vault references.
We do that a lot. We have two more hands raised, so
let's
we're
going
to try to knock all these out. This is our friend Lolita. Hello, Lolita.
Hello, good morning.
We're being lolified. Hi, darling.
good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing good. I was wondering if I can get a message.
Of course. And I love following your Lolita's Parlor on Instagram. Great pictures. I feel like I'm there. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right. So no music. Just let us know when you're ready for me to read the message that you have selected for yourself.
Take.
Okay. And the number for the here we go with another two digit message. In terms of the number, and it's 26. Oh, this is interesting. A smoker's habit could be an unconscious slow form of suicide, as could irritation, negative thought, and deed be a dimmer of the light body.
Hi, you want to hear something funny?
What?
I just had to do a violet flame meditation for the lower energies. Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll read it again.
That's what I, yeah.
Yeah. A smoker's habit, and that's the great thing about the violet flame because you've got me all into it now. And, it's all about transforming the lower energy. And, it's something to do on a daily basis. And I love Elisa was talking about, the color purple and wearing that, and that was her mentor's favorite color, and I'm all about purple now. Every time I recognize the color violet or purple, I just link that into the consciousness of the violet flame so that there is just a continual awareness of transmutation of lower to higher. So I love that you just said that. I'll read it again. A smoker's habit could be an unconscious slow form of suicide, as could irritation, negative thought, and deed be a dimmer of the light body. 26.
I'm still writing this down. Well, when you first said 26, we can start, quick adding up, and it's an 8.
Right.
And that's manifesting. So the 2 and the 6 make up what you manifest in this particular instance. And the 2 talks about what you will be cooperative with. It also talks about boundaries, because 2 tends to not really recognize the boundaries until it's until like, oh, I have to draw a line. And it's under a great duress that you do that. Because overall, 2 doesn't want to deal with any confrontations. But knowing what is important for you is where this 2 energy comes up, because it's in relation to other people or other things. This cooperative, collaborative vibe can quickly go south if it's not really a cooperation, but a command, you know, a bit of agreeing to be the slave, you know, instead of an equal partner. So 6 then also, it's almost the energy of these numbers, because they're both even. The 2 and the 6 are both even numbers. It's like the intention there is meant to be very nice. It's a good intention. It's, you know, being calm and grounded and helpful and supportive, nurturing, all of those things. Like a 6 will do that, a 2 will do that. But it can go over a line. Over there's at some point it's like, no, now you're smothering, you're trying to fix everything for me, you're trying to protect me, and it's too much, you know. So understanding where that boundary is, to know, okay, when do I need to rein some things in for me? When do I have to honor my own boundaries or honor someone else's where I'm not overstepping? And we talk about addictions or, you know, just a habit. A lot of times, like, you know, it may start off just as something not even thought of. Just like, I'm just gonna do this, and then because it kind of seeps in as something comfortable, you end up doing it a lot. And, you know, we talk about moderation in all things, and sometimes you can have a drink, but then if you keep drinking all the time, it becomes owns you. You're not in charge of it. It's in charge of you. So the same thing with what we said as irritation, negative thought, indeed. That's a wiring that we have. It's a practice. It's a habit. And until you're able to disrupt that and replace it with something, then that habit that's where your manifestations come from. So you could change the words around, and it could be all, you know, rainbows and unicorns, you know, and if you're good with that, then that's good. But a lot of times it's like it's unconscious, and that's where the biggest part is. It's unconscious. And that's an interesting phrase, unconscious, slow form of suicide. It doesn't seem like a big deal. But it talks about, you know, just, the slow burn, and because you're not aware, then you wake up one day and you've got health issues, or you've isolated yourself from everybody around you, and that makes for loneliness. Even if you on one level thought, well, I don't need anybody, because at some point or another we've all said that, usually when we're a lot younger, I don't need anybody. I don't need any new friends. And then you're like, wow, this life really sucks without that. You know, it's a skill we have to continue to cultivate. So the 2 and the 6 are great numbers. All these numbers are great. But they can have a dark side. They can have a dark side where boundaries aren't honored or aren't even recognized. Then it can turn really, really bad really soon. Usually it starts on one end, but for one person, but it affects everything else around that person.
Yeah.
So good for you for doing a cleansing, you know, to do a meditation to address those issues. It's good to do a cleaning out every so often, just kind of reset.
Well, it was interesting because I was doing something else. I was just doing my inner child work, actually, and I saw a video to the right, and I didn't realize the violet flame meditation also brings you to the 7th level of consciousness. 7th dimension.
Mm-hmm.
It really washes out the 5th dimension. It's all about being in oneness. I am the I am consciousness.
Right.
And I'm just like, I just went to that right away after that. I was doing the inner child work. So I'm like, yeah. And
there
it just felt, it was just very empowering. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
like you are, friend. So we always love hearing from you. We're going to try to take this last call. They're still waiting for us. And we'll talk to you very soon.
You got it. Thanks, you guys. Have a good
one. Thanks, darling. That was beautiful.
Love you.
Love you. The caller's still in the queue, Alisa?
Yeah.
Okay, let's grab it.
It is Jay. Hello.
Hey, morning, lady. Sorry for being late.
That's okay. So you want to just give us a very quick update, or we can pull a message? What would you like?
Sure, I'll just give you a quick update. I'm just finished my last. I'm on holidays right now for 3 days, and then just before I go into my last module, which has to do with the heart, and didn't do very much on Saturday. I just did some drumming outside, and just went to a float tank for an hour and.
Wow.
Hour and a half I was in there, and I just didn't do very much last day. And today I'm just going to go walk out in nature with a group of people and write some stuff. It'll be interesting. So that's about the update. So hopefully next week. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, enjoy. It's like, wow, I can't even imagine. Like, oh, my God. That's wow. It's so cool. So have a wonderful time with that. And you start the heart module when? Next week?
I'd start on the 21st.
Cool. I think that's going to be, I mean, it's all been really profound, but I think the insights that Jay's going to share with us, I think, are going to be very helpful and applicable for us. I just am sensing that. So, enjoy the time between now and when that starts up, because I think that's going to be pretty intense as well.
Oh, yeah. I think the one that was done is an hour and a half, so, but it has deals with all four modules in it. Like, I'll have all aspects of it in there.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's inclusive. It's all inclusive. It's probably why I was sensing that it was, that you're going to have a lot to share about that. So.
Oh, most definitely.
All right. Well, enjoy your time in nature. Always a pleasure to hear from you, and we're going to wrap out the show. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. As always, great conversations. Thanks to everybody for listening and participating. And in the meantime, remember to
follow
the feeling.
To you.
And everybody have a wonderful day. Love ya.
Happy Father's Day, y'all. Love you.
Bye.
That you